This is a reading from the book of Amos. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offences and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet at such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. That is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Dearest God, please give me the words to say and help those of us listening to interpret them for us and for them to aid us and guide us. Amen. Please sit. Can the rich go to heaven? This is the tricky question for this week. And I think you'll agree that for Christians living in our society, in a country that's relatively affluent, but also has huge differences in people's incomes and levels and ability to change their circumstances, it's deeply relevant. It's also a question that's not going to be solved by a one-word answer. So if you were hoping for a two-minute sermon, you might be disappointed. But I will try to keep it concise. But where do we start? Well, I think firstly, we need to remember that it's not our job to decide who goes into heaven. God is the judge of us all, and our future beyond death is in his safe hands. So we don't need to go about deciding who is in or out. I don't know about you, but I find that very reassuring. However, what I suspect we all do is think about ourselves and our position in life and wonder if our income qualifies us for heaven or might put us out of the running. And the first problem is that the Bible tells us no set figure for determining wealth or what exactly is meant by rich. People are divided into rich or poor. And that's because there is very little middle ground in the Bible. You're either very rich or very poor. But in today's society, it's less clear. Those divides are still here, but wealth is comparative. We know that we're rich compared to a child living in a shanty town, but are we rich compared to the man next door? Depends how we look at it, doesn't it? Personally, I find this question of whether the rich enter heaven a challenge, because I've been in two different parishes which could be described as affluent. By affluent, I don't mean people living in mansions, but people who've had professional jobs and been able to acquire a comfortable state of living. Nice houses, nice cars. And in both of those parishes, I've been struck by the warm generosity of the parishioners. The people in both these parishes shared well. And so I look at them and I think what loving, generous people they are, and then have to work out what woe to you who are rich means for them. And that's tricky. But then on the other hand, I love what the passage in Luke says about the poor. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. It warms my heart to think of those living in poverty will be rewarded with blessings, needs, and laughter. And this is a revolutionary statement, because in Jesus' context, wealth was considered a blessing from God. If you had oxen, donkeys, land and wealth, it was believed that God had blessed you with it. So here Jesus is turning things on their head and saying, no, it's the poor who will receive God's blessings. It's those with nothing that will enter his kingdom. Like the prophets in heaven, great will be their reward. But there then follows a warning. In contrast to the poor, the rich are told they have already received their comfort, food and laughter, and they will go hungry, mourn and weep. So what is meant by the rich? Amos condemns those who have built stone mansions and those who have planted lush vineyards. Is then the message saying that you're condemned above a certain income, but okay below it? Well, I don't think so. Because if you look at these passages carefully, you will notice that they are not just about wealth, but also about injustice and falsehood. In Amos, small farmers were losing family holdings to private estates owned by the rich, then being sold into slavery by heavy taxation to the estate agents who lent at exorbitant rates to the poor. Debt was prolific. So the rich were becoming rich on the taxation of the poor. And Amos's warnings for them is very clear. Those things they have acquired by their ill-gotten gains will be denied. In Luke, it's more difficult to see what's going on, but if you look carefully, Jesus refers to those whom everyone speaks well of as false prophets. Now, why would he call them that? His issue with them then isn't just about their wealth, but some sort of falsehood. And I would imagine the falsehood has enabled them to maintain their position in life, their prestige and their wealth. But Jesus can see right through them. So I don't think the key element here is wealth. I think it's how that wealth was acquired and maintained. However, you may remember the story of the rich young man who asked what he must do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus told him to sell everything he had and give to the poor. And when he was unable to do this, Jesus said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it appears it's impossible. Except that in the same story, Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus knows all of us. He knows our capabilities and our potential. He knew the rich young man. He knew his temptations and weaknesses, but also his potential. And let's face it, we all know the temptations of wealth, the way it can become the be-all and end-all of what we do, the way it can make us be greedy and forget to share. It is harder to enter the kingdom of God when you're rich, because you have more distractions and temptations to battle with. Life is full of stuff now, stuff to buy and fill up our life with. But along with that comes, I think, a lack of space for ourselves, for each other, and for God. But entering the kingdom of God is not impossible, and a life shared with Jesus helps us to see the blessings that we have. And we know the blessings we have in life are not our car or our gadgets or our stuff, but in our relationships with one another and with God. I was talking to Hazel from the Good Shepherd last week, and she said, "Me and God," she said, "we've got a thing between us." Now that's a blessing, having a thing between you and God where you understand each other. So what do we do from now? Well, I think we have a duty to speak up for the poor. The poor still exist just as they did in Jesus' day. They just blend into the crowd better. And injustices towards the poor are as prevalent. Grenfell Tower had no sprinkler systems and no correct cladding. I find it very difficult to believe that they expect that many people to live in that close proximity without basic safety. That wouldn't be allowed in a penthouse flat, would it? And why not? Because money talks, money gets you things, money gains power. Amos was condemning moneylenders. How relevant is this today with the increase in loan companies offering extortionate rates for payday loans? So what can we do? Well, if we have a tongue in our head, we need to speak up for our brothers and sisters in need. If we see an injustice, speak it. Use our vote for others rather than ourselves. And however much money we have, we all need to share. John the Baptist said one of the most challenging statements I ever heard: if you have more than one coat, give one away. I know I have many more coats than two. I don't do what he said. But I think the challenge is for each of us to share more than we do, perhaps to a level that's sacrificial and uncomfortable. So I'm going to finish with a challenging quote from Jack London about what true sharing is. And it's very challenging, but I hope it helps us to aim high. He said, "A bone to the dog is not charity. Charity is the bone shared with the dog when you're just as hungry as the dog." And remember, when it feels difficult, even impossible, all things are possible with God. Amen.